Part of the reason Glenn's not here today is because he's actually over at a church on the other side of town called Lifeline Church. And we're doing this as a pulpit swap this morning, showing the solidarity that we have with the other churches in Lodi as we come together to serve our city. Love Lodi is coming up in just a couple of weeks. And if you've never been involved with Love Lodi, I want to give you a quick little video so you can see what Love Lodi is all about. It's about churches coming together, Christians serving our city. Love Lodi is simply a day where we go out in unison as Christians to bless our city. There's a lot of ways that you can get involved. Out in the lobby, we have these cards that'll kind of give you the details of it. You can submit a project, something that you think needs to be done in our city that our teams may go out to do. We'd love for you, your family, your community group, your Sunday school class, you and three people you met at Panera this morning could go out together and could serve our city in the name of Jesus to be a blessing to Lodi. And we do it with an overarching banner of Jesus Christ. Not any one church, not any one congregation, but the overarching banner of Jesus Christ. And to remind ourselves that we are in solidarity under Christ, we are switching around some of the preachers and pastors around our city this morning. And so one of them is Glenn, is headed off to Lifeline Church, and their pastor, Elliot Jones, is here, and he's going to share the word with us this morning. I do want to give you one other thing. We have a 10-day devotional to get your heart ready for Love Lodi. It's out there in the lobby. We'd love for you to pick that up. You would start that about midway through this next week to prepare your hearts for Love Lodi. But our friend Elliot Jones is coming graciously. We told him, hey, man, we're preaching through spiritual disciplines. Get to it, brother. Tell us about prayer. And so would you give a welcome to my friend Elliot Jones as he shares the word with us this morning.
I appreciate you so much.
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Awesome. So good to see you guys. My name is Elliot. My wife Tiffany and I have the great privilege of pastoring a group of people called Lifeline Church. And just let me start by saying it's such an honor to be here, such a privilege. I have always considered First Baptist in Lodi to be one of the strongest ministries in our city and one of the most solid places. And so can we just give it up for your leaders here that have built such a... Come on. They can't ask for it themselves, so why... That's what I can do. Glenn can't hear me. He'll be watching me later. And can we do one more thing? Can we give Jesus the highest praise this morning? Come on. Hey, there it is. I like a lot of clapping. I'm a recovering Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist now. Everything's going to be good, all right? I left all that other stuff at home. We're going to do great. It's such a privilege. I can assume two things based on you being here today. Number one, you don't care at all about the Masters. It's a golf tournament, okay? I mean, Tiger's not doing any good, so what's the point anyways? I might be watching in between services, but that's okay. I can assume that, or I can assume you are here today for prayer because tax day is tomorrow. Come on, can I get an amen? Hey, it's a great day to talk about prayer. Tax day. I had a friend in passing tell me, oh man, tax day's coming up. I owe $17,000. I'm like, bro, you just take this to the bank. He's sitting on the front row of church today. I'm just letting you know right now, when you owe that much, you're going to church that day. All right, we're in a series. I understand it's called Rhythms. Is that right? It's going to be so good. This is a strong point for me, disciplines, rhythms, not to toot my own shofar or anything. I have part of my story is growing in the area of prayer and self-discipline. And so I would just love it so much if you were able to take anything home with you today that helps you in your spiritual life. One of my friends who's here with me, part of my encouragement entourage, who's here to say amen whenever I feel discouraged. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for that. He's also going to laugh at my jokes. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to laugh at random. That would be weird. But 8 months ago, we went to a conference, and it was all about prayer. And personally, my life has changed since then. We've been pastoring for about 12 years, my wife and I. And even 8 months ago, the Lord spoke to me on this area of prayer that we're going to talk about today. And I hope it blesses you. I just really do hope it blesses you. So since we don't know each other so well, I'd love to start a little bit off with my story and getting involved with everything else here in leadership and pastoring. I know you might look, I got my shirt tucked in. That guy's a pastor, probably grew up in church. That's not the case. That is just not the case. So I feel it's It's fair to have some full disclosure going on here. I actually got saved in a rehab. So as some of you are getting up to go to the bathroom, don't worry. I've been doing good for a little while now, and so you can relax. Everything's good. 17 years, praise God. 17 years serving the Lord. I got saved in a place called the Salvation Army over in Stockton, California. Ever heard of it? It's amazing. Not just a thrift store, by the way. When I showed up there, I thought, I'm like, why am they sending me to a thrift store to get my life back on track? But I went there, and my story goes, I go to the Salvation Army, and it is just the hunky-dory church, little podunk church, nothing cool about it. I mean, you got some amazing musicians here. We were singing songs in there in their chapel called Dr. Jesus. All right, you hadn't been in worship until you sung, Dr. Jesus, can you help me? I could go on, but I'm going to keep you on my good side here. But it was nothing cool. It was nothing outspoken about it. It was just the Lord met me there. The Lord met me there. I got saved in a radical way. That was in 2007. And so I'm a pastor of the past, of course. And after I graduated the program, I didn't go to church anywhere for 2 whole years, which I do not recommend to anybody. If you've ever been without a church for that long, you know, man, now that you're here, man, this is amazing. And if you are kind of new around here, kind of fresh, new-ish, I think, as Pastor Steve said, new-ish, I'm telling you, you have struck the mother lode. You have gotten it. Because I know what it feels like to be saved, going to heaven when I die, so to speak, but not have a spiritual family. Let me tell you, it's the pits. So I got invited, because I'm a musician myself, and I got invited to go to a church. My roommate discovered I was a drummer, been a drummer since I was a little kid. So I knew how to play drums a little bit. And he tricked me, man. He tricked me into going to church. He tricked me. He said, hey, we're going to let you play on the platform. Man, there's girls everywhere, pretty girls everywhere. As far as the eye can see, spotlight's going to be on you. And I'm like, hey, you know, that might just work for me. I showed up. They stuck me in the sound booth, y'all. Come on, man. They trapped me back there. Nobody looks back there unless there's a mistake made. Okay, but I show up to that church. And I tell you, an angel from heaven was up on the platform, up there with her hair was swinging. Oh, my goodness. Her hair was swinging back and forth, and the spotlight was from heaven, okay? From heaven, actually. And I did end up marrying that girl. Come on, we got a picture of my family right here. Look at that. Yeah, baby. I was like, church is for me. I think I can make this work. I think I can make church work for me. And that was about, I want to say, 14 years ago. And then I'm courting my wife. We date for a little while. We get married in 2012, January. And my wife grew up under the pews. She was always a great leader there. Always great leader. She was actually a missionary to world-based Morocco through Foursquare in Spain. So she did all that as a 19-year-old blonde girl. She did all that. She was awesome. And I married up spiritually big time. And so we get married 2012, January. And then in March, our pastor comes. And this is just a little church, Faith Fellowship, Foursquare Church, right in the middle of town. Been here forever, 101 years. I don't know how long, forever. And the pastor comes to us, just a little church, just probably 50 people, 60 people, and says, we're going to go ahead and turn the church over to you. And I'm like, you're crazy. You're out of this world crazy. Been sober for 5 years. Been coming to this church for 2. I've only been married 3 months. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? He was not thinking, but that was 12 years ago, and we've been able to see some growth. Look, I still have a family. Amen, somebody. They might be still sleeping right now. Our services start a little bit later. You guys are amazing around here. Girl of my dreams, and so we have been pastoring that long, and so let me just, this is painting the picture. No one taught me some of the things that some of you just grew up knowing, some of these disciplines, some of these rhythms that help and aid your life. I went to Bible college as I was senior pastoring. So that's kind of the context where I had to be hungry or else I wasn't going to make it, you know, sink or swim sort of thing. And so that's a great segue into talking about prayer. I imagine some of you might feel very confident around prayer, but I imagine some of you don't feel so confident about prayer. Like, who am I? I don't know how to pray. I'm not sure how to do that. I mean, that's for big time Christian people to do, not me. But I want to just share with you, it's for all of us. Anybody who has any serious needs, anybody who wants to get closer to the Lord. Let me ask you a quick question. Are there any parents in the room? Raise your hand if you're a parent in here. Go ahead. It's okay. Everybody. Great. Okay. Everyone's a parent. This is wonderful. I've got an 8-year-old named Emma. I got, obviously, the two kids, but my son is 7, my daughter's 8, and she knows how to get what she wants. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. My little girl, she knows how to get what she wants, and she can ask for TV, like, all day long, and she knows. She just keeps at it. She'll ask me with different tones of voice. She'll ask me with different phrasing. She'll be like, well, what about later? How about now? What about tomorrow? I just want to watch a little bit of Bluey. I don't like Bluey. Am I the only, I mean, any dads in the room that feel, like, humiliated by Bluey's dad? I don't even know his name. I don't want to know his name, all right? Just boycott Bluey. He's too good. He's too good. She never gives up. She loves asking for the things that she wants. She has no problem asking for the things that she wants. And I want to tell you that she's actually being quite godly when she does that. And I'm being godly as her father when I give in. Come on, I'm just kidding. No, but seriously. I know that there's a thing around here where you guys like to finish your sermons with so what. Is that a thing? Was I misled to believe that? Is it so what? Is that what you guys all say it together? So what? I like to start my messages with so what. That way people listen to me from the beginning. So what? Well, so what? I mean, prayer. So what? We all want things in life. We have things in life that we're going for. A new car, a new job, better relationships, more money, good grades, friends that like you, to be noticed by that special girl or that special guy. Or maybe it's something really, really important. Maybe it's something very important, like a restored marriage, a healing, a big conflict that you're going through in life. The list could go on, and no matter who you are, what age, where you're from, we all have things that we want or even need, and we just can't seem to make progress at that. We just can't seem to break through. Like, the thing that I'm going for, the thing that I need so much, that resolution in my marriage, that my kid to come home, my prodigal to come home, whatever you're going through, I'm telling you right now, prayer is your best friend. Prayer is your best friend. I want to read you an important story straight from the mouth of Jesus about getting something you really want or something you really need. And it comes directly from the mouth of Jesus, like I said, and he gives the disciples the Lord's Prayer. You know the one, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be. I felt like I was in an AA meeting for a second. It's okay. We're okay. Got one. I see you now. I see you over there. Okay. Seventh row, come on. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. Okay. Jesus telling this story, and he gives his disciples the Lord's Prayer, the one everyone knows, whether you're from church or not. But then he tells them this very important story. Listen up. Luke 11, starting in verse 5. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Now notice, this story is about you. No, imagine you go to a friend's house at midnight. First of all, if you come to my house at midnight, I'm calling the cops on you straight up. I don't care. You're like, hey, what's up? I'm like, cops are on the way. I'm like talking through the ring at you. Go away. I don't want to hear it. I'm about done with people at about 8:30. I turn into a pumpkin. Amen. Somebody like knows what I'm talking about. I'm all through. All right. Talk to me in the morning. We'll talk about it then. And notice this. He said, you're going to their house, midnight, 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit. It's not even something for you. It's something for someone else. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. I tell you this, though he won't open the door, he won't do it for friendship's sake. What I want to point out to you is that it's not based on how good you are. It's not based on how little you sinned that day or how well you perform spiritually. It's not even based on your relationship's sake. It's not based on that. It's not based on that. You keep knocking long enough. This is the words of Jesus. If you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your, let's say these words together, shameless persistence. Okay. Okay, Jesus. You're being a little weird right now. You know, but you're like at midnight, you're at someone's door, and it's because of the shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on, and then this is the verse that's on everybody's coffee mug. Keep on asking. You'll receive what you ask for. So proper, so quaint. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks the door will be open. I'm not making fun of the scripture, but like it sounds really cute. And it sounds a little unattainable when you just isolate it like that. But when we hear the story from Jesus, Jesus tells a story, man, when you get after it in prayer, when you get after it, asking your Father in heaven for the things that you are in need of right then, he's gonna come through for you. He's gonna come through for you. This is a story about shameless pursuit and raw desire that ignores what anybody thinks of you. Ignores keeping up appearances. We're beyond appearances now. Because I need something. I ask again, is there anyone in church today that needs a breakthrough in some area of life? Maybe it's not even for you. Maybe it's for a loved one. There's something going on. I'm telling you, prayer is your best friend. Quiz: why does God answer our prayers according to the story of Jesus? Shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. If anyone needs a breakthrough, I encourage you to take these steps and put them into practice. And you're like, I want to show you what shameless persistence could look like. And this might be simplistic for some of you, but this might be brand new for others of you. So I hope you'll lean in. We're going to get into our notes here. Number one, how to pray. I want to teach you how to pray. I want to talk to you about how to pray. And in parentheses, you could even put shamelessly or persistently or consistently. How to pray consistently. God will answer your prayers all day long. But I'm encouraging you, fill this in your notes, make it a priority. Make prayer a priority. He'll answer your prayers all day long, but there's something special about what you put first in your life, about what you put first in your day. Listen to this, Psalm 5:3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Well, some of you are thinking, well, in the New Testament, it comes along and says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. All I'm saying is, you can't pray all day without praying first thing in the day. You can't win them all without winning the first one. Is that right? Someone say amen. There he is. Got him. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. You can't pray all day without praying first thing in the day. So why don't we start by putting those needs, those requests. Man, if you have something you're going after, start your day with it. Start your day with it. I like to pray first thing in the morning. That way, no matter how busy my day gets, I know I communicated with my Father in heaven about the things that are most important to me. Amen, somebody. Thank you. Thank you so much. The second thing, have a place. So make it a priority, but also have a place. It doesn't have to be the only place. But Scripture helps us understand that having a place can help. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, there it is again. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He had a place. Jesus had a place, and so should we. Some scholars believe that he's talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. It's very, you know, kind of easy to kind of determine that would probably be his place. That was the place that he prayed. Father, let this cup pass from me. He was trying to get out of the cross right there, but not my will, but yours be done. That's the place where the Bible says that he ascended and he's also going to descend. He had a place. It was a special place to him. Also, I've never been there yet. I had 3 trips planned since 2020. I'm trying to go to Israel so bad. I got another trip planned really soon. Oh my gosh, Pastor, please pray for me that something opens. I'm trying to get there so much. But the Garden of Gethsemane, I hear it's very photogenic, maybe one of the most photogenic places in the entire world. Jesus liked to pray where the beauty surrounded him. And maybe you could have a place like that where the surroundings are conducive for you. What is a place that works for you? For me, I've converted my garage into an office. Our church, you know, I don't have to be at the office every single day. We have 2 services too, but it's like that section over there, all right? So I work from home. It's a privilege. It's a beauty that I get to grow up with my kids to see them there. So I converted my garage into an office, and I made it all work for me. And so I'm there in my chair, my certain chair. You know the one that I'm always in, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying. I'm encouraging you. If you don't have a place that you pray, it might turn the tide in your direction to be more consistent in prayer, to have a prayer chair. Something that works for you. Some place that you know you go, this is my prayer spot. Have a place. Is your place private, public, noisy, secluded? When it's not raining, I like to take my prayer on the road. I get my little tablet out. I got my prayer list right here, and I'm walking around. Lord, help me with this. And I just, when I'm talking on the phone, I like to pace too. When I'm talking to my Father in heaven, I like to kind of move around a little bit. So don't think it's just one thing or the other. Find what works for you and helps you to have a consistent prayer life. Amen. Amen. Very good. Okay. Third thing is this, and this was the game changer for me personally, what I experienced a few months ago. Have a plan. Have a plan. This is something that I was never told to have, you know, coming from the background I come from. Man, you just got to feel it. You just got to feel it. You got to let the spirit move. I'm like, well, sometimes in the morning, it depends on how much coffee I had, whether the spirit's moving or not. Come on. It's just like, where's the spirit? I thought he was always present, but depending on how much coffee I had, he's really moving. I don't know. Like, having a plan changed my paradigm around prayer. It changed my prayer life, but then it also changed my life, because prayer can change your life. God answered a bunch of things that I was really hoping for, and having a plan kept me on track, consistently praying for those things that I needed so badly. Listen to this, backing up in that same chapter, Luke 11. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, there it is again, certain place. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. And then he said, this is how you should pray. Our Father art in heaven. But what Jesus didn't mean was, hey, recite the Lord's Prayer. It takes 26 seconds and then you're good. No, that's about how long it would take for you to recite it. But Jesus was giving them a model for prayer. Some people may have heard of this, maybe you haven't. But Jesus gave them a model. Our Father, start off by relating to God relationally. And then move on to his holiness. Holy is your name. And then lean into the holiness of God. It's a structure. It's a plan. It's an outline that if you don't know what to pray, if you don't know what to say next, an outline might help you. Personally, I've been praying the Tabernacle Prayer Guide, which I had never heard of before 8 months ago. I know the tabernacle was what the Israelites would do mobile church with. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness, they would set up, tear down. They had the outer court, and that, you know, you're supposed to walk into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. And then next there was the brazen altar, and then we could thank God for the cross right there. And then the next was the laver. It was like this little bowl with water in it that had mirrors on the bottom, and you could the priest could see their reflection there. And so it's a great time to say, Lord, you see me inside and out. Search me, oh God. Forgive me of my secret sins, and getting pure, cleaning up, and then moving in. I don't have time to explain the whole thing, but I want to give you a resource today in regards to having a plan. It should be in your notes, but it's called the Pray First app. The Pray First app. Now, I've looked at a lot of resources. This is one of the best prayer apps that I've ever come across. It'll teach you different prayer outlines, like the Lord's Prayer is obviously an outline, the Tabernacle, the Prayer of Jabez, spiritual warfare. And it'll even play a little soft music for you while you're trying to pray. I'm just saying, it's very, very helpful. And having a plan could just change everything in regards to having a consistent time of prayer. And then that's a great place to put your requests right there, the things that you're going for. Number two, praying for your relationships. I want to teach you. We talked about how to pray a little bit. Now I want to talk to you about what. What are some of the things we should be focused on in prayer? Pray for your relationships. And number one, I want you to pray for your family. Amen. Right there. Amen. Pray for your family. He's like, pray for me. You hear that? Pray for me. How? Pray God's will for your family's life. If you are not actively praying for your sons, your daughters, your aunts, your uncles, even your mom and your dad, who is? That's your family. Lift them up in prayer. If not you, then who's going to do it? I mean, you can ask your pastor to pray for your kids until you're blue in the face, but there's something special about a parent coming to the throne of grace to say, God, I need this for my son, for my daughter. Please guide them. Please help them. Please give them the strength they need. Please bring them home. There's something special about when you bring it to your own family. This is not in your notes, not on the screens, but I just was impressed by this scripture, 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for those in their own household, have denied the faith. Yikes. And is worse than an unbeliever. Whoa, take it easy there, Paul. You're killing me right now. All I'm trying to say is be a provider for your family in the spiritual things too. Provide prayer for them. I mean, yes, provide for their actual needs, but if you're working 90 hours a week to have a 3-story house and 2 boats, let's think about providing for our family in the things that are eternal. The things that matter the very most, the things of God. Amen. Very good. Second, pray for your friends. Pray for your friends, your acquaintances. And the blank is friends, but go ahead and put that in. But we're talking about your circle there. I encourage you, when someone asks you to pray about something, make a note and do it. You know what we do. You know what we do. Be praying for me, will you? Absolutely, I will. And then we just never do. It's hard. It's hard to remember all those things. But put some energy behind when people are asking you for prayer. Who else is praying for them? Maybe nobody else. Listen to James 5:16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Two words in the English, effective, fervent. One word in the Greek, energeo, or energeio. I'm a gringo, so I don't speak Greek too well. Energeio. But it means energetic. It means effective, fervent. And it's where we get that word energy, energetic. The energetic prayer, like I'm putting energy into praying for these requests, avails much. And avail just means produces. The energetic prayer of a righteous person avails much. And then extra credit would be this, for those of you overachievers, text them back. Let them know you're doing it. I have never really done that, except for about 8 months ago. I started doing that and praying for people regularly and then letting them know I'm praying for them regularly. All I gotta say is wow. Wow. The results and the impact that it's had in my relationship with them and the way that they're feeling that energy, they're feeling that support from me, not only as their pastor, but also some of them just as a friend. I encourage you, man, if just the people in this room started doing that for the people at your gym, your coworkers, man, it could really change the dynamic of our culture. It really could. And then finally, of course, pray for your spouse. Or if you're not married yet, pray for your future spouse. Amen. Somebody's like, that's why I started coming to this church. Trying to meet me one of those, you know, angels on the platform right there. I got to be honest with you. This is a place of truth right here. I want to tell the truth. I wasn't always very good at this. It's hard to pray for the person who sees all your blind spots. You don't have to say amen, but I appreciate that. I get it. I'm not trying to break up any relationships. It's like, see, right there. Well, it's hard. It is really hard. Early on in our marriage, you know, we got, you know, started pastoring early, and our first house was about 900 square feet. We paid all of $120,000 for that house. Can I get an amen right there? That was a miracle and a half. But needless to say, we were both full-time at the church. We were on a little bit of a budget. We were on a budget. And my wife, Dave Ramsey, had our budget on lock, okay? So it was time for an oil change. And I come home, and I'm like, honey, I'm going to go get an oil change. She's like, that's great. You can go get an oil change next week. When we got money in the envelope, and I told her, you know what? I said, I'm going to get a little change right now. How about that? And then what we had, what we call in the Jones home, we had a passionate discussion about our budget. Yeah, amen. Thank you. Oh, you don't have to say amen. But I mean, it's just real life, okay? And we had a discussion, and I left in a huff. She thinks she had $30 oil change, man, trying to being all grumpy. I know none of you in here would ever, ever do something like that in your marriage. It's just me, of course. And so it wasn't one of those drive-through ones. I dropped my car off. It was close by the house. I start walking home. I'm walking home from oil change, all mad. And I was convicted right away. Convicted. I'm like, my wife is great. So I start praying for her on the way home. I'm praying for her because I have been taught these things, taught to do this. And so I'm walking home and I'm praying for my wife. My wife, she's so beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. She's so godly. And then I'm walking another block. It's a bad part of town. Everybody's out front, you know, doing their deals. They're looking at me. They think I start using because I'm out there. Oh, I love my wife. Yeah. And I started to feel good about praying. You know, I'm praying and I'm starting to feel a little better. I'm like, my wife, woman of God. Oh, I love her. So beautiful. I come home, burst open the door. I'm like, honey, I'm so sorry. I was so wrong. Should have never talked to you like that. I'm going to follow the budget from here on out because you are the best thing that ever happened to me. Sometimes when you're praying for someone, they're not the one who changes. Sometimes the right person who needs the change gets changed. Praying for your spouse can produce wonderful results in you. Amen, somebody. Okay, all right. Moving on. I'm meddling now. I'm meddling all up in your business. We're going to start to wind things down a little bit because and I know we have a very short amount of time left, but that's kind of my point. I want you to pray for the lost because we kind of have short time left here on earth too, don't we? I mean, everything we're seeing in the Middle East, everything we're seeing in the news, doesn't matter what station you watch. I mean, you're getting the same thing. And it's going crazy out there. It's going crazy out there. And people are suffering. And we, the people of God, ought to stand up in faith and do everything we can do to reach the lost. And what better to do than pray?
Pray for the lost. People need us. That's right. Come on. They need us out there. I was one of them. Some of you who have been serving God for a lot longer than me might have been praying me into this city. And I thank you for that. I thank you for doing that. Who's left out on the table that we need to be praying for right now? It might not be the person that you think, but just lifting them up to God. Say, God, please do your thing in Lodi. Do your thing in San Joaquin. Pray for their faith. That's the blank for you. For some of you OCD people, I need my blank. Pray for their faith. Pray for their faith. Pray for opportunities to share with them. Pray that God would show up in their path and that God would set it up. For Easter, I don't get out much. I only go to the gym and I'm at home and that's it. But I had 5 gym bros in my church on Easter. Come on, somebody. It was a miracle. We didn't need security that day. They were like, hey, preacher, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I'm like, I feel safer than I've ever felt right now. All right. One of them, never been to church day in his life. Mid-20s, young family. I was like, yes. Another one was probably late 40s, early 50s, hadn't been to church in like 20 years. Pray for the lost. Lost is lost. Lost is just far from God. And then this one might sound strange, but I want you to pray for your own faith. Because sometimes the lost person that needs the prayer might be someone sitting right in a church service. And you don't even know that you, and let me explain this a little bit. Jesus told the story about 2 people praying. One was pretty happy with himself, the other was desperate. Luke 18, 2 men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income, all good things. I do all the stuff, though. But the tax collector stood at a distance, dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Both were in church. Both were in church. Be merciful on me. Because I know some people feel a little inadequate. Some people feel like they don't deserve it. And that's what this man felt. And listen to what Jesus said. I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. When you have humility, honesty with God, he hears you. Most people don't feel worthy. I'll just pull the covers. Most people don't feel worthy. And maybe you don't feel too good about yourself today. Well, let me just complete the story I told earlier. I told you how I became a pastor, but I didn't tell you how I became a follower of Christ. I didn't tell you how I became a follower of Christ. It was actually kind of a, I had to tell this story carefully because I was in my addiction. It was not a good situation at all. And I was in the thick of my addiction where I'm from. And it was just a terrible scene. And I'm in a drug house, in a drug room. It's dirty, it's smelly, it's stinky. My parents won't let me in the house anymore. They locked the doors on me. I burned every bridge that I ever had. And I'm so alone. I can't feel good anymore. I'm like a 21-year-old man who had absolutely no hope. It's hard to describe the feeling I had. Hard to describe the feeling I had. I'd never been to church. I wasn't raised in church. Never went to church. Never went. The only time I went to youth group was, again, just see girls. That's it. And here I'm sitting in this room with nothing to go on. And I look up at the popcorn ceiling. I can remember it. I can remember all of it. The popcorn ceiling is dirty. I remember how it smelled and it was bad. And I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing like a tank top that had a little hole in it. And I prayed this prayer. God, if you are real, get me out of this. God, if you're, what kind of faithless prayer is that? Man, I thought it was the prayer of faith we needed. And my prayer was faithless. I didn't even know if he was real, but I was, it was the most humble prayer I've ever prayed in my life. It was the most, I was the tax collector. God, I don't even know if you're even up there, but if you are, save me. Save me. I got arrested that night for the very last time in my life. Praise God. Praise God. God saved me because of a prayer with faith the size of a mustard seed. If that's you today, I want to encourage you. Just be honest with him. Just cry out to him. Just start where you are. He can handle it. He can deal with it. And he will meet you where you're at. As the band starts to play, I just want to pray for you and give you the faith. I want to pray faith for you. We're going to sing one more song here this morning. And I just want to have a little invitation here where if anybody feels like they need that, maybe it wasn't as down and out as me, but there's something that you need. If there's something that you're desperate for, something that you're going for, I just pray right now with heads down, eyes closed. Lord, would you please open our hearts to be willing to give to you, to be willing to turn it over to you. And I ask that anybody who needs to come to the front and offer themselves and just lift up their prayer to you would do so and feel no shame, no guilt, but just have the freedom to come and lift up a prayer to you. So I pray for everyone who needs that, that their faith, even as small as a mustard seed, would begin to grow right here, right now. Thank you guys so much.
You know, that word amen means let it be so. And as we end our prayers, we do it that way. And I had a little aha moment while you were preaching, Elliot. You know, that story in Luke chapter 11, the man who's at his house in the middle of the night is not there for himself. He's there for his friend who showed up at his house. And many of you have prayer requests right now that are for you, and it is proper to bring those before God to give us this day our daily bread. We got some daily bread that we need. But there's also a friend of ours, somebody in our heart right now, somebody in your heart right now. I am desperately praying right now for three marriages that are broken and in crisis. Not mine. Don't go to my wife and ask her about it, but other people. And I am broken over it. And I thought, you know, many times I pray you guys out of here, but I just thought maybe today instead, I'm just going to give you a position of silence to pray for those people that God has on your heart right now. You don't need to have the right words. Maybe it's just a name. It's a circumstance or a situation that you can't change, but God can. Would you lift them up right now? God, you know these situations, every single one of them. And God, we come before you like a guy in the middle of the night in front of a Ring camera. We come to you before you and shamelessly, persistently come to you, God, for those people that are back at our house that need some bread. God, would you meet them in their need? Would you take those situations on your shoulders? Would you answer those prayers the way that we see you do in Scripture, God? And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.